Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things, where Kevin and I share or try to stump each other sometimes.
That's right.
With little obscure musicals and trivia and all that fun stuff. So I have not told Kevin what my favorite musical is.
And I haven't told you yours either.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
You go first.
Okay, this is mine.
Okay.
There is no cast recording of this.
Oh.
So it's a little difficult. However, I believe there is a YouTube video, and I got to see a revival of this show in L.A. a couple of years ago. 1973?
Oh, wow.
Was at the Village Gate for a really long time. Jeff Goldblum was in the cast at one point. Oh. Ron Silver was in the cast at one point. It's named after a soft drink. No.
No.
This is a musical.
Sprite, the musical?
I'm a Sprite. This is a musical called El Grande de Coca-Cola.
Are you kidding me?
I'm being dead serious.
Rob, I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of this?
Never.
Okay. Ever. Neither had I, except they did a revival of this show in Los Angeles last year. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because the creator who starred in the show for years just passed away.
El Grande de Coca-Cola.
El Grande de Coca-Cola. It's the story.
Big Coca-Cola.
I'm wondering if any of our listeners out there saw it. Would you be so kind as to share your memories of this musical? Because I'm fascinated by it. It's the story of a guy named Señor Don Pepe Hernandez, who is always played by a Caucasian actor.
Of course.
The whole show is played by Caucasian actors, although they're all supposed to be
Latino. Hispanic, yeah.
Don Pepe Hernandez is putting on the biggest Muy Fabuloso cabaret experience next to the Coca-Cola factory. And Coca-Cola is sponsoring it. And he's promised the town that all of these international stars are going to come in to be in the cabaret, and, you know, needless to say, they don't show up. Hilarity ensues, and he gets his family, who is not talented, to act like the performers that are supposed to be in the cabaret. It was one of the funniest things I ever saw. Now, think if it was actually performed by, you know, the correct casting that the show needs, I think it actually would be very, very fun. But if you go online, one of the funniest things on it is a Toulouse-Lautrec impression. This man comes out and he stands on his knees. He sits on his knees like Toulouse-Lautrec. And because he's so small, it's about Toulouse-Lautrec trying to put a canvas onto an easel and the hilarity that ensues.
So now we're offending little people as well.
Offending little people. Uh-huh. So you know, this is just a very not politically correct
And show. How is Coca-Cola going to allow them to have their
so
name
funny.
In the title?
I'm happy you asked that because originally the show was called El Coca-Cola Grande. And Coca-Cola said, you can't call it Coca-Cola Grande because that makes it sound like Coca-Cola is involved in the show. Right. But you can call it El Grande de Coca-Cola. That's okay.
So, like, the big of the Coke?
Yes.
Like, how does that translate?
I have no idea, but apparently Coca-Cola was like, you can call it this, but you can't call it that.
And Coca-Cola was even involved in the first place.
Well, they were very, very concerned, it seems. But the cast, like I said, it's amazing. It's, you know, Ron Silver and Jeff Goldblum had gone through it. And Ron House, who created the show and who I got to meet a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did?
Because he did it again in L.A. He just passed away in the past couple of weeks. And I just wanted to give a special shout-out to him. So if anybody's looking for a show that is a little off the beaten path. And like I said, you know, you have to tread carefully with this one.
Yeah.
But it's a fun show.
What were the circumstances that it was being performed in L.A.?
There was a theater company that was looking to do a revival of some little tiny musical. Wow. And the authors also wrote a very popular play called Bullshot Crummond,
okay,
which I've never seen, and that's pretty much what they're known for. And they had approached them and said, is there anything else in your catalog? And they said, yeah, we used to do this show at the Village Gate that lasted for, for years and years and years and years at the Village Gate downtown.
Wow.
And they said, we have this, and they did it, and it was one of the funniest evenings I've ever had in the theater. I mean, like I said, you know, it's sort of on the Mel Brooks side of things in terms of,
clearly,
you know, everyone's going to be offended, and if you're okay with that, it's a really funny evening.
Have fun.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners have seen it, please, you know, share your memories because I'm so interested. You know, Ron Silver and Jeff Goldblum. So we'll post some videos of the show on our Facebook page so you can take
a look. Hope so.
Because I think it's funny. What about you?
Okay.
Grande de Coca-Cola. I shouldn't say that I'm actually going to take a sip of my Pepsi while I just promote El Grande de Coca-Cola.
I'm going to take us to the
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
To the 50s, actually.
Okay, I am ready.
I've been on a kick lately with a certain actress, and I just can't stop
watching
her.
Oh my gosh. Watching her, okay.
And seeing clips of her, and we'll get to that in another podcast.
Brilliant.
But this is one of the first times we had orchestrations with a tin drum. We have a very Caribbean calypso jazzy bluesy feel to it.
Oh.
Which automatically we think of certain writers like perhaps Harold Arlen.
Yeah, it, House of Flowers?
It is House. Oh. La Casa.
La Casa de Flores.
And Truman Capote actually did. It's based on a short book that he, or short story that he wrote, based on his experience in one of the islands of the Caribbean in the West Indies, and he wrote the book and the lyrics, and Harold Arlen wrote the music, of course. And
was this the only time he wrote lyrics for a show?
It is actually. Wow. He did the story of Grass Harp, but this is his first actual musical and only musical that he wrote. It's the story of these two neighborhood bordellos like you have sometimes.
And this was in the 50s.
This is in the 50s. There are only two white actors in this cast, Ray Walston being one of them.
Oh my gosh.
It's the story of a sweet girl who is Diane Carroll, who was, this is one of her very first roles ever.
Oh yeah.
She's one of the ladies of the bordello, and she falls in love But she chooses not to go with the rich guy who wants to be with her, but she falls in love with the poor local mountain boy. And it's a story of that. And then the late, of course, the madam probably doesn't want them to be together. And there's a part of the story where they try to kill him or put him in a barrel in the ocean, but he escapes and he rides in on the back of a turtle. Like,
what?
Yeah, that's what happened in it. He comes back in the back of a turtle. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep.
And that turtle was played by Robert Morse. A little trivia for everybody. That turtle was played by Robert Morse.
So, like, and it's. I think the music is just fantastic, but the real star of it is Pearl Bailey. I'm obsessed with this recording because there's a moment in the big opening number, One Man Ain't Quite Enough, that Pearl Bailey sings.
Yes.
And the song is a brilliant song. I mean, it's basically, she's the madam of the bordello, and she's like, you know, I've been burned by love, so now I'm gonna forget those feelings, and I'm just gonna have lots of men, just like lots of them. And then the lyric goes, one man may call my bluff, till then, lots of men, because one man ain't quite enough. But so what happens on this recording, you get through the song, Pearl is like singing the shit out of this song, and at the end of it, she literally goes, singing, because one man ain't quite stops singing and says, supposed to have an ad-lib filled in here for the record date, but we've been so terribly busy at the theater, we haven't had the time. I said, one man ain't quite enough, ends the song. The orchestra's playing furiously underneath it, and she just says this ad lib, and you're like, how do they, why didn't she just end the song?
Pearl Bailey.
Because Pearl doesn't care. And then the other song she sings, Has I Let You Down, Pearl's singing with her, like, ladies of, it's near the end of the show, she's singing with the ladies, and Pearl's known for her ad libs. That's what I love about her.
Oh,
she's just living in the moment. And she, at one point, she goes, she's singing about how, like, I'm not going to let you down, and then she just says, oh, these stupid idiots, stop screaming in my ear, I got a terrible headache. And I believe her. I believe her. I believe that she really does have a headache, and she's really annoyed, and she can't stand it. She's been so fed up with the theater, all the changes going on. Peter Brook eventually got thrown out, and they had someone else come in to take over. You can sense all of that drama in that cast album.
In this one cast recording.
And the cast album is amazing because it's also great music. So you get a reality. It's very sexy. I mean, the album is very jazzy and sexy, and it's fun.
If any of our listeners have seen or saw the original production.
Encores did it, I want to say, in like 2005.
Oh, Encores
with
did
like,
it.
Tanya Pinkins, I think, of course.
Yeah.
And I think Nikki James did it too.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I didn't see that one.
The score is superb. But the articles I read said that it was a lot of the direction was misfired.
Well, it's Peter Brook. It's Peter Brook, who, you know, is known not only for Shakespeare, but experimental Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And actually, I think as soon as he was fired, he went off and he directed El Grande de Coca-Cola. That's where he went after
starring
that.
Starring Ray Walston.
Ray Walston, Pearl Bailey in Peter Brook's experimental production of El Grande de Coca-Cola,
totally.
Where they drank ginger ale the whole time to show what a revolutionary director he was. Okay, listeners, so that was those are our two. So El Grande de Coca-Cola for me.
House of Flowers. If you have opinions on either of these, let us know what you think.
Please. And don't forget, post to our Facebook page, Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Or on Instagram and the
Twitter.
At Broadway Curtain.
Till next time. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.